Ephesians 2 and verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Would you stand with me as we praise the Lord for His amazing grace?
Good morning. It's very good to see you. Thank you for being here this morning as we celebrate our homecoming together. If there are any first-time guests, if you're here for the very first time with us, I'm going to ask you if you would to take one of the cards that are there in front of you. where the hymnals are. If you take one of those and fill one of those out, just so we've got a record of the fact that you've been with us today. There's a chest at the very back of the room. As you first come in the door, there's a chest there where we have been taking our offering. And so if you drop that in that chest, we would appreciate it very much. And we're grateful that you are with us today. If you have not been with us, we are looking for this pew to have more than seven boys. We've had seven boys on it for a while, and we've tried to pack more, and it hasn't worked. But today they've done it, and they've even hired enlistments here. Let's count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Outstanding. 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 I don't know if they stay that way all the way through church, but they're there now, and that's what counts. So they have definitely packed their pew and done their part. So also, let me share with you a few things that are going on this week, all right, just so you know. When we do homecoming, we usually will not do a Sunday evening service, so tonight there won't be any evening service, won't be any play practice this afternoon, and there's a lot of people that are gone on for fall break and all that sort of thing, so we won't be doing anything tonight, won't be doing anything Wednesday night, even though we've just started all that stuff back, okay? I will tell you that a week from tomorrow night, our associational annual meeting, in the past I've done that as a business meeting, but usually what we've been doing over the last couple of years is getting together for worship service. There's no business. Eddie will give us a small report about the association, but it's just a time for worship. And so that'll be not tomorrow night, it'll be a week from tomorrow evening. The 18th, I would love for you to be here. I'd love for us to have a good group from Center Grove. We're going to be hosting that meeting this year. And so we'll be eating at 6 and then service at 7. Brent Jennings is our associational music minister, and so he'll be here and be doing some music that night. And Tommy Fountain will be preaching. Tommy is the president of our executive committee in the state, and he's a good preacher. You guys know Jared. Jared Thompson left and went to First Baptist Buford. He is with Stephen Fountain. That's Tommy's son is at First Baptist Buford. So Tommy will be with us that evening and will be preaching, and it'll be good. I also want to just call your attention to these. This will probably be the last Sunday that I mention this, although if you have gifts from Mission Georgia, feel free to continue to give those. But the Little Blue Prayer Guides have been emphasizing five different areas that our state, that we as Georgia Baptists want to focus on. There are places that our state could use that help. We've talked about things like literacy, pre- and postnatal care, human trafficking issue. I'm missing one, and I don't know what it is. But we've had all those through. We've had all of those things through as we've read and prayed about those things. And today we've got one more video about refugees and internationals, that idea of the world is essentially coming to Georgia. And so let's watch this video that will give us a little taste of a ministry of this sort.
August 2014, I went through some of the worst hours in my life. I was being kidnapped. I was being held against my will, and they were beating me and kicking me, and it lasted for about 2 or 3 hours. And one of these guys came back and hit me in the back of my head. I fell on the floor. I thought I was going to die in that moment. And all I could say was lift my hands and say, hey, I'm a Christian. To my surprise, he came back with the key of my car and said, just get out of here. And I realized that my life and, my family was at risk. Then we came to Valdosta, and this church received us, and they started treating us like family. We saw the need, so I started this ESL class, and I talked to Jay, and we were thinking, how can we do this better?
And Oscar has really been the one who has stayed and really is pouring into the community here in Valdosta, the Hispanic community.
I met with my boss, and I was asking him for a place where we could have classes. And he was like, why don't you use this building? We're going to do a $1 lease for a year. And I was like, I'll take it. I met with the local library. They gave us a full package of dictionaries, notebooks, and of course, the study guide. We had the books. We had the place. We needed the teachers. And that's when Ricardo came on board.
Oscar invited me to be the director of the school, so I accepted. Not only giving them the gift of another language in our area, but also building friendships.
When we started, there was 30 people in that first class. And so I ended up taking more of a teacher role, and it just kind of took off from there.
I am an ESOL teacher for the city schools here in Valdosta, and I have a son adopted from Guatemala, so this ministry is very dear to my heart.
It's really important because I need to get a better job.
I need to speak to people. I'm from Venezuela.
You're there to serve the community. And sometimes it doesn't look like the inside of your church, and that's how Redland was. It did not look like the inside of our church. And if the nations are coming to us, why not?
That is why we have been translating our services. You know, so we sang Amazing Grace in Spanish. Everyone knows that song in English, so they just keep singing. You're listening to both languages at the same time. It feels amazing. It's beautiful. Last week, we had our vacational Bible school, and this week, we're going to have our first ever, you know, Spanish vacational Bible school. It's the first time that they ever experienced a vacational Bible school. One of the first jobs that I had when I got to Valdosta was scheduling appointments for truck drivers on a farm. I mean, and it's a mission field that is 20 minutes away from town.
Nosotros vamos allá y compartimos con ellos, y es muy agradable. Y les hablamos acerca del amor de Cristo, y es muy...
You know, a smile doesn't have any language. So you just go there, you smile to them, you give them something, and they understand that you're doing it with love. One of the challenges that an international face whenever they get to America is that they don't have friends. They don't have family around. Well, if there's a church around there that can help them, you know, bringing them over for a holiday, as simple as that, you know, just invite someone for dinner.
When I went to this church, I feel very comfortable. The people is really kind people and polite.
They really just want to know that somebody sees them and somebody knows they're there and somebody cares enough to do that. And I think as Christians, that's just our calling.
It changed a lot. And the whole thing, the whole purpose of this is just sharing the gospel, just living it, doing life together. That's the purpose of what we're doing. So that's what we're looking for.
So as I've shared before, this Mission Georgia emphasis has two primary arms. One is that we're raising money for that. And if you would decide to give to that, these little envelopes are the best place to do that. And that will provide just an influx of cash to some ministries like this that are doing these sort of things around our state. Second arm of that is that you'll notice that many of these videos, including this one, it's not a pastor that starts that ministry. It's not church leadership that starts that ministry. It's a person within the church that God lays it on their heart for the church to take a role in that ministry. And so if the Lord has impacted you when it comes to one of these areas of ministry, I'd ask you to come. Let me know. Let me know about that so that we can get started on it and try to find an avenue to serve in that way. Okay? Let's say a word of prayer, and I'll turn things back over to Cody. Okay? Lord, we are grateful that you are with us today, that your presence is here in this place. Lord, we pray that as we sing and as we read from your word and as we contemplate what you would say to us from it, that Lord, our hearts and our minds and our ears would be open to what you would say to us. Lord, we do want to leave this place differently than how we arrived. And so, Lord, I pray that today your Holy Spirit would be affecting that change in us. And Lord, as we sing praises to you, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be lifted and that you would be lifted high above all things. And Lord, I pray at the time of the preached word that our focus would be on what you would say to us, how your Holy Spirit would speak. It's in your name that we pray, Lord. Amen.
I am thrilled today on this homecoming Sunday to have my friend Rick Yates from Cartersville, Tennessee. Before Dee Dee and I moved here to Georgia, we served for 7 years in Cartersville, which is right outside of Memphis, and that's where we met Rick and Bonnie's here with him today, his wife. And we served together in ministry there for those 7 years. We also ate an enormous amount of Mexican food together during that time, and they're just dear friends of mine. Rick's a wonderful singer, and I've invited him to come and sing for us today. So come on and share with us, Rick.
to turn off the sound that will drag people down through the pit of despondency. With a sweet, happy tune, he is coming soon for his children like you and me.
It's a song that'll carry a message along through the densest of foggy night. And a tune is a rope that can throw a man hope when he's going down for the third time. It's a sweet melody that can cut your heart free from the chains of a past defeat. You can suddenly see through the sweet harmony a path for your wandering feet. I'm going to sing just as long as it takes for a song to make sad, heavy spirits free. I'm going to keep making music that carries the secret that Jesus is liberty. I'm going to turn off the sound that would drag people down to the pit of despondency. With a sweet, happy tune, he is coming soon for his children like you and me. Don't tell me the world is a hopeless old place and I might as well just give in to the doom and gloom. Life's a waiting room for the boom that'll do us all in. I can't sympathize when before my eyes is a hope shining bright as day. I gotta follow the song that keeps drawing me on with my feet dancing all the way. I'm gonna sing just as long as it takes for a song to make sad, heavy spirits free. I'm gonna keep making music that carries the secret that Jesus is liberty. I'm gonna turn off the sound that would drag people down to the pit of despondency. With a sweet, happy tune, he is coming soon for his children like you and me. I'm gonna sing just as long as it takes for a song to make sad, happy spirits free. I'm gonna keep making music that carries the secret that Jesus is liberty. I'm gonna turn off the sounds that would drag people down to the pit of despondency. With a sweet, happy tune, he is coming soon for a children like you and me. With a sweet, happy tune, he is coming soon for a children like you and me.
Thank you so much. Again, my name is Rick Yates, and I'm from Cairoville, Tennessee, and I have known Cody for a pretty long time. As a matter of fact, Cody is a one-up man. You know what that means? He always has to one-up someone. Now, when Cody was there, I took pity on him, and so I started cutting his grass. And so for 7 years, I cut his grass. And I want you to know, the day I stopped cutting his grass, Cody left. But the one-upmanship comes along when Cody was over talking to one of his fellow ministers at the at Second Presbyterian in Memphis, and of course that was high church. And so, you know, they were discussing choir things and things like that. And so they were talking about, you know, like salary and what kind of benefits they had and all this. And Cody apparently was feeling quite intimidated by this individual. So he pulled his ace card out and he said, "Well, do they cut your grass?" And the man said, they cut your grass? He said, "Yeah, I've got a man that comes over every week and cuts. Every week he cuts his grass." So that's correct. So that's your Cody. He's a man that is always a one-upmanship. So I'm here today to sing you some Southern gospel, some classic Southern gospel. I love Southern gospel. As a matter of fact, my wife and I attended the Southern Gospel Convention in Memphis, Tennessee. If you've never been to one of those, it is just absolutely an amazing thing to do. The music and the professionalism is unbelievable. But anyway, love Southern gospel. Someone will sing the next song for you.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see the miracle of love that took and made me what I am today. just an old sinner, saved by grace. I'm just a
Cody. So Cody and I worked up something. Where is he? Well, we're going to sing one for you. We used to do a lot of duets and quartets together. So this is an old favorite of ours. It's also a Gaither song. So it works out for us real well. So He Touched Me by the Gaithers.
Heaven and That water.
Boy, that song was by Dolly Rambo.
Mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet, as Gabriel sounds.
To do for you is one of the first gospel songs that I ever learned. Of course, it was the signature song of Ernie Haas when he was singing with the Cathedrals, and is still now. We saw Ernie Haas on the now the Signature Sound in Memphis. And I can tell you they sound exactly like the recording. I actually thought they were lip syncing, but anyway, they did that. Sound exactly like the recording. But anyway, I don't sing it like Ernie Haas did. That's not possible for me. He has a gift that I don't have. But anyway, Oh What a Savior. It's just an amazing song. Appreciate the invitation not only from Cody but from the great acceptance I've had from you. We studied today in Sunday school how as Christians we love God's children, and I could certainly feel the fellowship and the love that I've received from you all today.
This song is by Squire Parsons, and it was probably one of the most popular songs that they ever put in Southern Gospel. It's been recorded by a lot of groups. But it's a place that we want to go to, and so I'd like to finish it up singing to you today.
And someday
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rick. Good job. Tell him again. Good, very good. Thank you. This morning, we're glad to have Malcolm Harris with us. Malcolm's a pastor at Calvary, and we know him as Neil's dad, right? Forget all that other stuff. We know him as Neil's dad. And here's the thing, Malcolm. My dad's a pastor, you know, and my dad, for a long time, when I first got into ministry, people knew me as Neil's son, right? And then now I've been doing ministry for a while, people know him as David's dad. And so sometimes you get, it depends on how, you know, it depends on how who you know. So come and share with us from God's word. Very grateful to have him with us today. Let's say a word of prayer as he comes and pray the Lord to prepare our hearts, okay? Lord, we want you to be honored and lifted up. And Lord, we know that will happen when your word is preached. Lord, we pray that you would be moving in our hearts, and Lord, we would be receptive to what you would have to say. We want to honor you today here in this place as you are honored in heaven, as you are glorified and praised in heaven. And Lord, we pray today that as you speak to our hearts through your Holy Spirit, that our obedience would magnify you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
I'll just put this back here. If you need a bottle.
Appreciate that. Now this is just in case I get real happy and I have to sit back for a moment. See, he's already knocked my stool down. But I'm glad to be here, and I'm trusting that my son has behaved himself. We are blessed to have him and Sarah and them two beautiful granddaughters of ours. I may be a little bit prejudiced, but it is a joy to have this blessing in our life. I'm so thankful they have a church they can come to learn the Word of God and to be taught the Word of God. Just an honor to know that in my heart, that they're being ministered to. And we appreciate this young man as he sung these songs. It's kind of right up my alley. I was at a homecoming one time, and a little lady sitting right on the front pew, and she was kind of simple in mind, but she kept doing this, like this. And I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know if she wanted them to throw me out. I didn't know what exactly was going on there. But when it was all said and done, the little fella sitting with her could tell I was not getting what she was doing. She was speaking sign language. And what she was saying was rather remarkable. She said, "I'm going to heaven." I mean, that whole service, she had that in her mind, going to heaven. Amen? That's a blessing, isn't it? Well, I thought, man, if we could all get a hold of that. At the end of the day, we're going to heaven. She's living every moment like, "I'm going to heaven." And I'm so thankful for that Beulah land, that place, thank God, just beyond our imagination, that we'll all go one day that have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, have trusted him as our blessed Savior. So it's my hope this morning to be a help and not a hindrance in any way, a blessing in some way, that to honor God. And if we can't do that, then we've missed the mark. But let's turn your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 9. And we're going to look at a few verses here, beginning in verse 27. Of course, this is kind of picking up in the middle of something, and we'll kind of tie that bow when we get to that. But we are going to go to the Lord in prayer. Then we're going to read these scriptures and try to bring the message the Lord laid on our heart. Again, it's in Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 31, if you want to find your places there. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have here today. We praise you, Lord, that you're still on the throne, that you're still able to do exceedingly and abundantly above that we can think or even ask for. And Lord, I ask you, God, that you'll help me one more time to be a help. Help me to preach with love and with authority. And Lord, if there be any under the sound of my voice, Lord, that they
may not have ever received you as their personal Savior. Lord, that maybe something's been said in a song. Maybe your word will speak to them this morning, arrest their heart, and allow them to know, God, that your invitation is an open invitation. All they need do is come, to seek. And Lord, you'll be there to help, to lift them up. And Father, I ask you, Lord Jesus, you'll help your people, what you're called by your name, Lord, to ever remember why we come to church and why we're here to worship and our mission in this world. Now, thank you, God, for a church with a heart for missions and outreach. And Lord, we can't live in our little shells any longer. We must realize this is a great opportunity, Lord, to reach people we may not have ever could have reached, Lord, just because, Lord, you've brought them to us. So, Father, help me, Lord, to be a help. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me, if you wouldn't could. Just going to read a few verses, in verse 27 through 31, and then we'll get into the message here this morning. Notice the Bible in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was in coming to the house, the two blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in out all the country. You can be seated. I appreciate your kind attention. Now, there are three truths I want to pull from this passage of Scripture today, and I hope some way, somehow, it might be a help to you. Number one is it takes faith, your faith, to start the actions to going, to start things going. Now, I've often thought about faith as this. Faith is the substance, the Scripture said, of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. It is a tangible, real thing. It's a wonderful thing. Faith is not an emotion. People think faith is an emotional thing. It's not an emotion. It is an action. In James 2:18, he says simply this. He said, Show me your faith without works, and I'll show you mine by my works. So I want you to understand, faith is a tangible part of what you are. It's the Lord working through you in action, and that action your faith shows. So we'll talk about your faith. We'll talk about his power, his ability. Boy, he's known with greater ability. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above that we can think or ask for. We must trust him for that in his ability. Then we must understand this. He is able to do what? Meet our every need. To supply our every need. To come to that moment, wherever you're at in life, and reach down and touch and make a difference in whatever circumstance, whatever heartache, whatever pain, whatever sin has tripped you up. My God is greater than all of those things. Amen. So let's talk about your faith just for a moment. Again, we kind of framed your faith as something that's tangible, something that shows, something that this world needs to know about. I got a scripture I'll kind of throw out there every now and then. The Bible says, bodily exercise profiteth little. Amen. But exercise your faith, exercise yourself with godliness, right? So faith is that exercise. This is that thing that we do. If we're not exercising faith, then we're growing weaker in faith. The more faith you exercise, the stronger you'll get. All that stands between the sinner and salvation is faith to believe that Jesus is able to save even to the uttermost all them that would come to God. Anybody that's willing to say, I'm going to, by faith, step out and reach out to Jesus and get what I need. That's right. Now, in this passage of Scripture. We kind of picked up in the middle of a story. Jesus had already raised the dead. Jesus had already healed this unclean woman of an issue of blood that she had for over 12 years. And it's amazing that it's in this part, when I get to this part in this story, I always get a little bit happy. Amen. Most of the time, David, when an unclean thing touched somebody that was clean, it became automatically unclean. But that wasn't so with Jesus. Amen. As soon as this woman touched Jesus, the sinless Son of God, she was made whole of that disease. So no doubt these blind men were kind of in tow. And they were following along. They were seeing what Jesus was doing in the lives and hearts of others. And they said, you know what? If he could do that for them, why can't he do it for me? Why can't he do it for me? So now we kind of get why they were so bold. And they came to Jesus and they said, hey, Son of David, I know who you are. We read about you in our scripture. And we believe in and trust in that you're not just Jesus. I believe they understood this Jesus was the promised Messiah. So the encounter was brief and the encounter was simple, but it was very powerful. Faith, God's promises. We'll talk about those things. We must trust him completely. And look at their blindness. So blindness in the Scripture always reflects a type of sin. And the faith that unlocks God's storehouse of blessings. I'm glad he's got them, ain't you? Amen. You can never outgive God. You can never do more than God. God's always going to one-up you. You said he was the one-upper, right? Okay. And that's the God we serve. That's why it's so important that we understand the key that made these two blind men to see. Now, here's what the story is. It's pretty simple. They came to Jesus, and they trusted. When I say trust the promises, I think about they had to know in their hearts, when they said, Thou Son of David, they had to know in their hearts that what God had promised through the Scripture that would come through the house of David, and Jesus was fulfilling that promise, was going to come one day and was going to do wonderful things in this world. So they understood that God had made a promise that they would be a man that could, amen, take care of all the problems and all the needs that are in this world. So I believe they had faith, great faith. As a matter of fact, the Bible says this, that about God's promises. He's not slack concerning his promises. God just cannot lie. In Hebrews 6, verses number 18 and 19, the Bible says this, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong conclusion, who have fled for refuge and lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope is the anchor for the soul, sure and steadfast, which entereth in within the veil. So how are you sure? Are you trusting your faith? God cannot lie. God's promised us that he cannot lie. God has said, I have come to help you and to make a refuge for you, a place where you can go, and when you get there, I'll take care of you. Thank you, Lord. My friend, when you get to that place where these two blind men were, understanding that the need in their life, no one else could help. Understanding as they saw what Jesus had done, believed in their hearts that Jesus could do for them. When you get to that point, God can work things in your life like you cannot believe. It's no doubt in my mind, we think about these two blind men and how immediately Jesus did not give them their sight. What he says to them very simply was, believe you that I'm able to do this. And he touched their eyes. But when he touched their eyes, they didn't see. He gave a condition. What was that condition? He said, be it according to what? Your faith. How do we exercise our faith in this world in which we live, who seems to want to suppress anyone that living their lives by faith, trusting in the Son of God? We know this world's blinded. And these two men reflect, again, a type of blindness in this world. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. My friend, that's why it's hard to live faith in this world. This world is like these blind men. They're lost. They can't see what you see and I see. And as we have a relationship with Lord Jesus Christ, they can't understand what a blessing it is that we have put our faith and hope and trust in Him, knowing that at the end of every day, I can bow my head. I can pray knowing that He is there. Thank God He's give me that great paraclete to come alongside of me. That Holy Spirit of God that leads me and guides me, directs me, and allows me, friend of mine, to live my life by faith. But this world is blind and in sin. And they need to see faith in our lives. And certainly these two men, in order, what they were doing was showing their faith. They could have very well... Again, in my personal opinion, I think they may have been following them for a little while. I mean, they probably saw Jairus' daughter raised from the dead. They probably heard the woman with the issue of blood, how that he cleaned that up. And they probably heard a lot of things about what Jesus did. They probably heard about the woman sick of the palsy. And they followed Jesus, and when they came to Jesus, they came to him. They were crying. This was no, excuse me, can I have your attention for a moment? No, this was a pleading voice of someone who knew that, hey, I'm at my rope's end. I don't know if the next step I take may be my last step. The scripture said they cried to him. It gives you the idea that they become broken at that moment. And they become willing to look to Jesus as the only thing that could absolutely make a difference in their life at that moment in those circumstances. And my friend, that is a good exercise of faith when you and I realize that once we become broken, once we're willing to cry out by faith, Jesus will respond to that faith each and every time. Faith is the key that unlocks God's storehouse. It brings blessings unbelievable into our lives. And I'm sure faith is present in every heart of every believer, because it took faith for you to be a believer. How do we exercise that faith? How do we get that? Well, we can look to the examples in Scripture. We look in Hebrews chapter 11, which is called the roll call of faith by many Bible scholars, and we can read many of those names out there, but we're not going to read through the whole chapter. Instead, let's read through a few verses, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 6. And let's read what it says about faith. Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by the things which do appear. Verse number 6, very key verse, right? But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a, what? Rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I want to ask you something today. How big do you feel your faith? How big do you feel your faith is in your life? Again, please help me understand. Faith's not an emotion. It's a demonstration. It's what you show to people every day. It's what they see out of your life. The scripture said your life and my life are the epistles read most of men. This lost and dying world, they're not cracking open a Bible. They're not looking to listen to Christian music radio. They're not trying to tune in the gospel channels. They're just living out there in the world. And there's the biggest ministry you and I have is to live our faith in the world. Showing folks that we have exercised faith in our life, and by doing so, God has showed up and showed out in every instance, in every moment in my life. So when we think of our faith and how we nurture it and tend it and grow it, we must be very honest with ourselves. Because when we fool ourselves concerning faith, we fool ourselves concerning God's will in our life. Remember I said all that stands between the sinner and salvation is faith. To believe that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost all that would come to God by him. A-double-L. And I was thought just for a moment about his power. Now, again, it took faith and they, to come to Jesus and said, hey, we want to see. We want to see. Jesus turns to him, believe ye that I am able. In other words, he's asking them, do you think I have the authority? Do you think I have the power? Do you think, are you really saying to me that you believe I can help your circumstances? Glory to God, I'm glad their answer was, yeah, Lord. Yeah, we do. We do. My friend, we see this world today has kind of lost the fact, lost the knowledge of the fact that God has all power, both in heaven and in earth. And all things are transpiring by his will. Now that's a hard pill to swallow in the hour in which we live. But by faith, I believe that all things are transpiring by his will. So we'll talk about his power. We'll talk about three things concerning his power. He is able. He is a can-do God. And we can receive his power. We have that ability. And he still can save to the uttermost. So let's look just a little bit further as about his power. Jesus simply asked the question, believe ye that I am able. He is a can-do God. In Ephesians 3, verses 17 through 21, you'll find this reading. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the depth, what is the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth understanding, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Makes you a little bit happy when you think about that. God's willing to put that kind of power in my life? Sure. Now, verse number 20. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can think or ask, according to the power that worketh in who? Us. Oh, glory to God. Did you know the power of God works in our lives? Amen. Through the demonstration of faith, the power of God gets all juiced up. I mean, what they're talking about, you know, electric cars being all the rage, right? And they're coming around the horizon and all this good stuff, you know. Well, I promise you that they're only good if you find a place to plug them in. Yeah, they ain't found a gas station with a plug-in like that. Amen. Those batteries probably going to run low at some point in time. Please get what I'm trying to get across to you. Sometimes our batteries get a little low. Sometimes we get a little weak, thank God. But I don't have to worry about where to plug in at. Right. Thank God I know where to go and plug in. Yeah. I can get out on my knees. I can pray to God, and God will plug it in for me. Amen. There is a power.
dwelling in the hearts and lives of believers. This world cannot understand. It cannot receive. But yet it is present. Each and every moment, each and every day, the power of God rests upon us to protect us, to keep us from harm's way, and to help us when harm comes, to see us through those times of heartache and sadness. I'm not one of those preachers who preach, you go get saved, all your problems go away. No, not one of those. But I tell you this, thank God for every problem I've ever had, there's been Jesus. Oh, glory. That'd make a little Baptist get happy. There's a time I'd probably jump by right now. To know the power of God rests in such a way in our hearts and our minds, in our lives. Paul concludes in verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages without end. Amen. Don't try to tell me, preacher, this is 2021. We got to look a little prettier and do a little... No, friend, I'm telling you, the same God is the same God yesterday. He's the same God today. Praise the Lord, he'll be the same God tomorrow. And in his power and in his might, I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengtheneth me. Glory to God. When I think about the power of the Lord and how he has given me an opportunity to receive this power. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, you'll find this reading. He came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I want to take a moment and break down verse 13 just for a second. You see, Finn, there are people out there who think, well, I've got a connection. My grandpa and grandma went to church down yonder. And I don't have to worry about it, preacher. They pray for me all the time. I've got this. But in this verse, this statement, John is saying, which were born not of the blood, this speaks to heritage. Nobody can say, I'm going to claim my salvation because grandpa and grandma and daddy and mama were good people going to church and I followed them and I'm good and I believe God's just going to take me on in. Your heritage will not get you to heaven. He said, nor the will of the flesh, your personal strength. You don't have enough. You're not coy enough. You're not smooth enough. You can't do enough. So he takes your personal strength out of the equation. Then those of us said, nor the will of man. In other words, any appointed power in this world can't take the place of the power of God in your life. I'm not to look for what this world has to offer. I'm to search for what God needs me to do, wants me to do.
That's right.
Remember, he can still save to the uttermost if we'll only let him. And I've often thought in my life, he even went to the guttermost to save his old boy. He lifted me up out of a miry pit of sin. I put my foot on a solid rock. Glory to God. He established my going. Amen. And here today I stand. Oh, glory to God. Saved by the grace of God through his mercy. He has kept me every day. Oh, my friend, let me assure you, the power of God is still real. As long as I can get plugged into the power of God, David, I think I'll just keep on. They may have to wheel me up. Amen. They may have to prop me up on a stool. Amen. That's all right. This stool ain't got power in it. God does. Let me assure you something today. He's a can-do God. We can and should know that we have received His power. And we can and should know this. He can save to the uttermost. There's nothing that you have done that God can't save you from. And I am a living testimony of that very thing. Now for a few minutes, and I'm going to close. Don't get nervous. I know your thing may say part two. I'm not sure if it does up there or not. That's for after we eat, we come back in here. I'll do it again. No, I'm just So what we've done, we brought ourselves up to this very pinnacle. Your faith, you know, we're trying to add this up now. Your faith, His power, equals our needs being met or fulfilled. God wants to deal with us and our specific needs personally. That's the kind of God we serve. He wants to get real with you in a very intimate way. How does that happen? Through your faith. Trusting in His power. And then He can make things happen that you couldn't imagine could happen. God wants to be your God, and He simply wants you to be His people. Jesus asked these blind men, "Believe you that I am able to do this?" Our Savior asked. These two men were blind. They wanted their sight. What is this for you in your life? He said, "Preacher, I'm not blind." You may not be physically, but maybe spiritually. Maybe spiritually, your heart's become hard and numb, cold and bitter. Maybe someone's hurt you. Maybe you've hurt someone. Maybe those things that you thought would bring you comfort, pleasure, have failed you. Maybe it's time that we just let go and let God. Amen. He's able to meet our every need. Again, spiritual blindness was a form of spiritual, if you would, lostness. When Jesus came, and as we look back at the scriptures, when He came and He departed thence, where did He depart thence from? Again, from doing miracles. He just raised the young a lady from death, Jairus' daughter. He had just healed a woman of the issue of blood. He had just healed those who were sick of the palsy. He was challenged by the, quote, established religious realm at that time. What did Jesus do? He just kept going. And as He kept going, others began to come. And here we found this little story about these two blind men who made their way to Jesus. When they found Him, Jesus simply asked the question. Their reply was, "Yea, Lord." Can I say this? When we become willing to say yes to His drawing of the Holy Spirit, look out. That's when God can change the course. That's when God can meet you where you're at and whatever need there is. And whatever circumstance is going on, God can make a difference with it. The old song, "He's a way maker." Amen. And then He said to them, He touched their eyes, and He said this, "It's according to your faith." Well, I thought that was a pretty powerful statement right there. Maybe He looks at you and me and our weakest hour.
in our times when we feel like we are falling or have failed even. Maybe he looks at us and says, well, Malcolm, it's according to your faith. Wow. I don't know about you, but that certainly gets my attention. Because there's sometimes I haven't been faithful. There's sometimes I've come way short. That's not God's fault. No. No. He just simply said to them, it's everything that proceeds from this moment. What moment? The moment when you recognize your greatest need in life. The moment when you recognize that everything else has failed me in this world. Why can't I try Jesus? It's at that moment when you say, I'm just going to let go and let God. When Jesus puts this question to each and every one of us. Okay, all that proceeds from this moment will be done according to your faith. Not the faith of others, not even the unfaithfulness of others. You can never point to someone else's unfaithfulness to justify your own unfaithfulness. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Yea, Lord, was their response. God's greatest gift to man is salvation. I preached on the radio broadcast this morning, and I was preaching on the radio broadcast, and as I was preaching, I got to that point where, you know, in John 3:16, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to break this down. I'm going to break down John 3:16 and try to deconstruct John 3:16. And here's what I want to share with you. We're getting ready to close again. How do our needs truly get met through this exercise of faith? It says, for God so loved the world. So we took that verse, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we deconstructed that verse. We said, all right, let's look at the authority of John 3:16. It's God. Let's look at what he's willing to do and what he has done. He's loved the world. Let's look at what he gave. He gave his only begotten Son. Let's look at what he demands. He demands us to believe and to trust. And look at what we'll receive. Everlasting life. Everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Please get this. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. That's where a lot of people stand today, in the darkness of evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. I can say this to you, I've never seen the Church of Jesus Christ under such fierce attack, and it's not in a foreign country. And I'm speaking about what's going on in the United States. But yet, if you go to the foreign countries, it's even worse in many ways. He says this. He says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. Fancy word, or revealed. You step into the light, when you bring it out into the light, it's going to show. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest if they are wrought in God. I don't know your heart. I don't know it, but God does. If you need victory this morning, God can give you that victory. This, what is this in your life? I don't know. You may not be blind, physically speaking, but spiritually speaking, you may be.
You may have something else going on in your life nobody else knows about. Guess what? God's put this in your life right now at this moment. He's asking you, here's how you're going to have to deal with it. It's according to your faith. We have to take some responsibility for we. Well, that's not a good concept. Amen. But the fact of the business is, I've got a saying I use, and I'll take just a moment to share that with you, David. It's a great big philosophy saying, wherever you go, there you are. Took me a lot of times out behind the oak tree to figure that out. In other words, wherever you're at in life, you put yourself there. Take some responsibility for it. And if you do, thank God, and you exercise a little bit of faith, and God pours out a little bit of His power in your life, guess what? Whatever that need is for your life, God can answer it.
Amen.
I'm liable to get on a shouting ground here tonight. This is the victory that we may be going through trial, but at the end of the day, we're going to win. 1 Corinthians 15:51 through 55, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. And we which are changed for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I'm reminded in the scripture that there's nothing can separate me from God. I want you to remember, and I'm trying to hurry through this right now. I want you to remember this. I'm going to have to use this stool for a moment. God's bigger than your problem. There's no problem bigger than God. Paul records this in Romans 8:35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Notice what is written next. Get a hold of this, believer. Get a hold of this. I am persuaded. Glory to God. That means I've done made up my mind and I ain't going to change it. I got some stubbornness in me, David. Just ask my wife. My son's got it too. Don't ask his wife. I am persuaded. I done made up my mind that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. According to your faith, Jesus said, it will be done. These are the words Jesus shared with these two blind men. Our needs will be met. Philippians 4:19-20. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and the Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, I'm about to get happy. Now, let me assure you this today in closing. I don't know what it is, what this may be in your life. What is that victory that you seek? What is that challenge? Is it trials?
Is it help fighting an enemy? Is it family problems? Is it lust? Is it pride? Is it a pet sin you just can't let go of? God said, I'll give you victory, but it's according to your faith. In closing, I'll share this verse of Scripture with you. 2 Corinthians 3, 4, and 5. And such trust that we have through Christ to Godward, not that we are significant of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiencies is of God. I kind of sometimes get like John, even so come now, Lord Jesus. The invitation is simple. Come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I don't know what this may be in your life. I do believe, looking at this story, is just a rather unremarkable story, just one of many miracles Jesus did. But what a powerful, powerful lesson contained within this story. Just a few brief verses in the Word of God. It takes your faith. You trust in His power to have your needs fulfilled and met in your life. If there's something that's got you unplugged, if there's something that's got you dragged down, if your battery's about depleted, as we stand together, as they get a song, I don't know how exactly y'all do that here. Brother David can come, and I'll turn it over to him at this time. Hey, this is your church, your heart. This is your, and I'm so honored that Brother David gave me this open door to try to come and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're so thankful for this church. And I hope and pray today that you lift your pastor's arms up, you encourage him and give him strength. And friend, I know that he's got open ears, I know that. But sometimes you just got to take things to Jesus. These blind men, they at this moment just knew. We just need to get to Jesus. We need to get to Jesus. Go ahead, my brother.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory.
I want us to be very clear where we stand today, because we came in to this service praying that He would be exalted above all else, right? I want us to be very clear where we stand today. We serve a powerful God. And God's power is not dependent one iota on our faith. Listen to me. If you say to me, David, you don't need to stand out there in the middle of the road, you're going to get hit by a truck. I'm sure that if a truck comes by here and hits me, it won't hurt that bad. Not many trucks come down this road. I don't even believe in trucks. Doesn't change the fact that if a truck hits me, I'm probably going to be dead if it hits me hard enough. It doesn't matter what you stand here and believe about God. He is who He is. And He is powerful. The question today, in this moment, what Malcolm was preaching, that there is a response of faith required from me and you. There's this response where you and I must surrender. We must repent and turn to Him. And this morning, don't be deluded. He is powerful. The question in these few moments is, will you submit to who He is? So sing one more verse.
Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Thank you guys for being here this morning. Thank you for sharing from God's Word, Malcolm. Needed message. Very needed message. And for the singing, thank you, Rick. Give these guys a hand, let you know how much, let them know how much you appreciate them being here. Let me do this. Let's just have a word of prayer and thank the Lord for our time together. And then, Taylor, I'm going to ask you if you'd pray for us. Say a blessing for the food. And then when we head that direction, we'll just jump in line. I'm sure it's ready for us, okay?